שלום חברים, ברוך הבא לכל מקשיבים. This is Dr. Duff Forbes, רבי קהילת המשיח בתוך ישראל. Welcome my friends to this program entitled Treasures from Tanakh. My dear friends, when some words are mated, they produce ideological families familiar to us all. For instance, mate the word Moses with the word mountain, and I feel sure your mind is instantly flooded with a family familiar to you, a family of mental pictures all associated with Israel and the Ten Commandments. You behold the fiery mount, the tables of stone, the golden calf, the shouting of the people of Israel, and the man Moses. Yet there is another family of imperishable portrayals, born of the union of these words. A very much less familiar family, I admit, but I assure you, not one whit less dramatic. May I introduce you to this other family, born of Moses and the mountain? And the Eternal spoke unto Moses that selfsame day, saying, Get thee up into this mountain of Abarim, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho. Let us now follow in the footsteps of Moses and learn something of the mountain's secret. Just speed the eye of your imagination and come to rest upon the extreme north end of the Dead Sea. At that point, we are approximately level with and halfway between Jerusalem and our goal. We stand in the fertile Jordan Valley between two mountain ranges, both of which seem to have retired from us to allow us the enjoyment of a large plain extending both sides of the Jordan and quite 12 miles in extent. Away over to the right, high above us, we see the range of mountains to which we are going. This range, forming the eastern wall of the valley, was given the name Avarim, meaning regions beyond. Away upon this mountain range, 2,643 feet above the Mediterranean Sea, there is a ridge called Nebo, and somewhere on the western projection of that ridge is the location once known as Pisgah. Let us commence our climb. Our way lies through the wonderful plains of Moab at the northeast end of the Dead Sea across the Jordan. As we approach the eastern mountains with their deep purple shade, the upper terraces of the valley are marked by green groves produced by the issue of the springs from the roots of the range. Soon we commence the ascent by Ayin Muzah and around the sides of Jebel Sigar to its summit, from whence a little distance away we can discern the peak of Nebo. What a striking view is now ours. Someone has described it as the finest view to be seen in any part of the world. Away out eastward, the great tablelands, once cultivated, slope away gently for several miles, then, descending, issue forth into a vast plain sweeping outward into Arabia as far as the eye can see. Looking southward down the beautiful range, the horizon is stabbed by the peaks of Mount Ataris and Mount Shihan. Beyond this latter summit, our view is sealed off by a purpling ridge. It was to this point that the Eternal God brought his great servant Moses alone and commanded him to behold the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for a possession. For this very reason, our main interest is now directed to the northward and westward outlook. What an incomparable vista! Northward, deeply embedded in the earth, twists the River Jordan down its fertile valley. In the bright sunlight, like some silvery serpent, writhing its way down to drink a salty draught at the Dead Sea beneath. The view to the west is amazing. Suddenly, in two or three colossal terraces, the landscape sinks to the Dead Sea immediately beneath. It gleams in silver splendor at our feet, its northern shore exactly bisecting our view where the Jordan's curving delta is discovered. Raising our eyes from the valley level, our gaze sweeps the wilderness of Judah and ascends to the ridge of Hebron. The towers of Jerusalem and Bethlehem are clearly visible on the top of the mountains opposite. God and Moses, alone together on this great eminence, viewing the pleasing prospect. And God said to Moses, "This is the land which I swore unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes." But if it was to Pisgah's height that God brought Moses to permit him a preview of the promised land, it was also to this locality that God had conducted his esteemed servant for quite another reason. Moses had forfeited right of entry to the land of milk and honey, and God had brought him alone to Nebo to execute the death sentence upon him. "Die in the mount whither thou goest up, and be gathered unto thy people, because ye trespassed against me in the midst of the children of Israel, because ye sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel." The closing declaration of the book of Deuteronomy, a declaration written probably by Moses' successor, Joshua, affirms, "There hath not arisen a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Eternal knew face to face." Yet, my friends, this spiritual giant, Moses, whose influence for righteousness, justice, and truth has permeated the ages, failed his God, both positively and negatively, and, by that very failure, suffered the divine sentence of physical death, and, on the basis of personal performance and personal merit, forfeited his right of entry into the promised land. My dear friends, as we confront ourselves with this fact, let us adjust ourselves to it with objective honesty. Frankly, I shrink from facing the judge of all the earth on the basis of personal worth and works, if Moses himself, whose character and conduct when judged by human standards are admittedly of superlative caliber, Moses fails to pass that test with God. Yet our hearts whisper to us that the man who enjoyed a face-to-face friendship and communion with God, the only man whom God himself ever buried, he must have inherited all the fullness of God's spiritual blessings and bounties, including the bestowal of eternal life. But if not upon the basis of merit, then upon what basis was the bestowal made? Let Moses and the mountain mate again and whisper the answer. Pisgah means a part or a section. Moses, representative of divine law, standing on Pisgah with a sentence of death upon him, is, praise God, only a part or a section of the divine revelation. Moses, speaking for God, declares, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh atonement by reason of the life." Not personal merit, but redemption by divinely provided blood atonement is the answer. And the animal sacrifices, I am fully persuaded, were but symbols. My friends, the area on which Pisgah stands is associated with the tribe of Reuben. Reuben was the firstborn, and the name means, "Behold, a son." It is surely significant that the last picture of Moses granted us by our sacred Jewish scriptures is in the New Testament. This time, Moses is on a mountain in the promised land, standing with one of whom God declared, "This is my beloved son, hear ye him." And the subject of the conversation? They discussed his exodus, which he was soon to solemnize at Jerusalem. When that exodus was accomplished, the blood of atonement was shed. May we not fail to follow Moses from Pisgah to glory by its redeeming efficacy. Yivarech Adonai v'yishmerecha, Yair Adonai panav eilecha v'hunecha, Yisar Adonai panav eilecha, v'yaseim lecha shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.